Okay, well, this morning I'd like to start out in 2 Corinthians chapter 8. And it was on my heart this morning to look at what the Word of God says about having a willing mind. And in 2 Corinthians chapter 8, verse 12, Paul is writing to the believers at Corinth and encouraging them concerning their formerly expressed willingness to give, which they hadn't done yet. They had spent a lot of time with Paul. He had spent well over a year there and then written back to him a couple of times, but they hadn't given him anything. And he didn't require it of them. Otherwise, it would have been collected as he went along. But in chapter 8, verse 12, he said, "For if there be first a willing mind, it is accepted, according to that a man hath, and not according to that he hath not." So for someone's giving to be accepted, there needs to be first a willing mind. You know, God doesn't want coerced giving, because then it's not giving, it's kind of like a tax. But he wanted them to have first a willing mind. Now, I want to look at this concept of a willing mind, and there's a couple of very significant places in the Old Testament I'd like to share with you. First, let's go to Exodus chapter 25. Now, in Exodus 25, Moses is at the top of a mountain, and God's talking to him about stuff. He's up there for 40 days. And this is after God had spoken to all the children of Israel and given them audibly and verbally the Ten Commandments with smoke and fire on the top of the mountain. And then Moses went up to talk with God. And among the things that were discussed was this concerning the tabernacle that God wanted to have built. So in Exodus 25, verse 2, God told Moses to say, "Speak unto the children of Israel that they bring me an offering of every man that giveth it," how? Willingly with his heart, ye shall make an offering. Willingly with his heart. And this is the offering which ye shall take of them, gold and silver and brass and blue and purple and scarlet and fine linen and goat's hair and ram skins dyed red and badger skins and shittim wood and oil and all these things. And this would be for the Ark of the Covenant and for the tabernacle, which would be built. So God said, anyone who has a willing heart and will offer it willingly, accept this offering of them. Now, you might ask, well, how did they get all this stuff? They were slaves in Egypt, right? And God wants them to willingly offer gold and silver and precious stones and things like that. Well, if you go back to Exodus chapter 3, where we have the conversation between God and Moses at the burning bush, where he lays out the plan of the deliverance of his people out of Egypt. He told them about all the things that he would do. And we'll pick it up in verse 20. It says, "And I will stretch out my hand and smite Egypt with all my wonders, which I will do in the midst thereof. And after that, he," the king of Egypt, "will let you go." Verse 21. "And I will give this people favor in the sight of the Egyptians. And it shall come to pass that when you go, you shall not go empty, but every woman shall borrow of her neighbor. and of her that sojourneth in her house, jewels of silver and jewels of gold and raiment, and ye shall put them on your sons and upon your daughters, and ye shall spoil the Egyptians. So spoil means to take, you know, what is of value. But normally spoil is received after a battle is won. You know, where they, you know, you go out, kill the enemy, and you strip the gold and silver jewels off the dead bodies, you know. But this would be different. They would go and just ask for it. And it says the word borrow, but the word borrow is the word for ask. They would ask for it, and they would be given favor in the sight of the Egyptians, so that the Egyptians would say, yeah, here. And they would voluntarily give them all this valuable stuff, because they would have favor in their eyes. So it wouldn't be taken by force. So you just ask them for it, they'll give it to you. Well, in chapter 11, you see this, again, after all the nine of the plagues, and there was one more to go, which would be the firstborn of every household would be killed. But before that would happen, in chapter 11, verse 2, God instructed the people. He said, speak now in the ears of the people, and let every man borrow or ask of his neighbor, and every woman of her neighbor, jewels of silver and jewels of gold. And the Lord gave the people favor in the sight of the Egyptians. Moreover, the man Moses was very great in the land of Egypt, in the sight of Pharaoh's servants, in the sight of the people. And so that's what they just asked for it. And it was given willingly. It was given voluntarily. Then, when Moses asked for everyone to bring the offering to make the stuff for the tabernacle and the ark, people just willingly gave it. So the ark and the tabernacle and everything in it was constructed out of materials which were given freely, which were originally provided by God, right? Because God gave them favor in the eyes of the Egyptians, so that all they would have to do would be to ask for it, not buy it from them, not steal it from them, not take it by force, but just ask and it would be freely given. So that's what the tabernacle was made out of. Let's go to 1 Chronicle chapter 29. Many years later, when David was king, he had in his heart to build a temple for God, because they had the tabernacle for quite a few hundred years, you know, from the time that they left Egypt to the time David was king. I don't know how many hundreds of years that was, but quite a few. So tabernacle's getting a little old. Imagine they would have to repair it now and then and replace some of the badger skins and things like that. But it would have had the same gold and the same shittim wood, which I don't think would rot. But David had in his heart to build a permanent house for God, you know, not a tent that would be dismantled and carried it around and set up again. They would have the same Ark of the Covenant, but an actual building. And at the end of his life, he instructed his son Solomon to make this house. And he got all the people together and made an announcement to them in 1 Chronicles chapter 29. I think you're there. We'll start in verse 1. It says, furthermore, David the king said unto all the congregation, Solomon my son, whom alone God hath chosen, is yet young and tender, and the work is great, for the palace is not for man, but for the Lord God. Now I have prepared with all my might for the house of my God the gold for things to be made of gold, and silver for things of silver, and the brass for things of brass, and iron for things of iron, wood for things of wood, onyx stones for the and stones to be set, glistering stones, and of divers colors, and all manner of precious stones, and marble stones in abundance. Moreover, because I have set my affection to the house of my God, I have of mine own proper good of gold and silver, which I have given to the house of my God, over and above all that I have prepared for the holy house. So he prepared out of the abundance which came into the kingdom of Israel, and he said, of my own proper good, out of my own personal resources, I have given a lot of gold and silver as well. Verse 4, even 3,000 talents of gold. And I don't remember how much a talent weighs, but you know, an ounce of gold these days is like what, $1,400 or something like that. It's a lot of money, you know. This is not pocket change. And a talent was a heavy piece of gold, quite a few ounces. So these are worth quite a lot. So 7,000 talents of refined silver as well, to overlay the walls of the houses with all. The gold for things of gold, and silver for things of silver, and for all manner of work to be made by the hands of the artificers. And who then is willing to consecrate his service this day unto the Lord? So he asked, is any of you willing to set aside your service or your resources? Then the chief of the fathers and princes of the tribes of Israel, and the captains of thousands and of hundreds, with the rulers over the king's work, offered willingly and gave for the service of the house of God of gold 5,000 talents and 10,000 drams, and silver 10,000 talents, and of brass 18,000 talents, and 100,000 talents of iron. And they with whom precious stones were found gave them to the treasure to the house of the Lord by the hand of Jehiel the Gershonite. Then the people rejoiced, for that they offered, how? Willingly. It wasn't a tax. It wasn't, you know, and it wasn't even, you know, look, you really got to do this, otherwise you're going to look bad in front of, you know, everybody else. But it was a willing offering, because the people, because with perfect heart, they offered willingly to the Lord. And David the king also rejoiced with great joy. And then he prayed. In verse 10, wherefore David blessed the Lord before all the congregation, and David said, blessed be thou, Lord God of Israel, our Father, forever and ever. Thine, O Lord, is the greatness and the power and the glory and the victory and the majesty, for all that is in the heaven and the earth is thine. Thine is the kingdom, O Lord, and thou art exalted head above all. So did David consider himself king of the realm? You know, he recognized that God was king over everything and over his kingdom, and he was just permitted to sit on God's throne and administer things. Verse 12, both riches and honor come of thee, and thou reignest over all, and in thine hand is power and might, and in thine hand it is to make great and to give strength unto all. Now therefore, our God, we thank thee and praise thy glorious name. But who am I, and what is my people, that we should be able to offer so willingly after this sort? For all things come of thee, and of thine own have we given thee. So he didn't have the attitude that, look, God, we gave all this to you, now you owe us. He didn't have that kind of attitude, which maybe a lot of the pagans might, when they offered to their gods, you know, their sacrifices. Okay, God of harvest, here's our sacrifice, now you better give me a good harvest. You know, I think that song St. Genevieve and from Camelot, look, if you don't answer my prayers, I'm going to pray to somebody else instead. What do you think of that? He was just thankful that they were able to give. What a great attitude towards God for David and all the people at that time. Where were we now? 14, thank you. But who am I, and what is my people, that we should be able to offer so willingly after this sort? For all things come of thee, and of thine own have we given thee. For we are strangers before thee and sojourners, as were all our fathers. Our days on the earth are as a shadow, and there is none abiding. O Lord our God, all this store that we have prepared to build thee a house for thine holy name cometh of thine hand, and is all thine own. I know also, my God, that thou triest the heart, and hast pleasure in uprightness. As for me, in the uprightness of mine heart I have willingly offered all these things. And now have I seen with joy thy people, which are present here to offer willingly unto thee. O Lord God of Abraham, Isaac, and of Israel, our fathers, keep this forever in the imagination of the thoughts of the heart of thy people, and prepare their heart unto thee. And give unto Solomon my son a perfect heart to keep thy commandments, thy testimonies, and thy statutes, and to do all these things, and to build the palace for the which I have made provision. So, what a wonderful prayer, and what a wonderful time when people just gave like that. They didn't have to have a big fundraising campaign or bingo games or potluck suppers and things like that to raise money. Because remember, God would accept it if there was first a willing mind. Then that place would be built out of things that were given to God with the recognition that God had provided it for them to give. Now, even under the law, if you go to Deuteronomy chapter 8, under the law there were things that were required to be given, right? The things for the tabernacle and the temple were not required. They were all free will. But there were things that were required to be given. But remember, we looked at how when the old covenant was established, that it was freely agreed upon by all the people. The people told Moses, you talk to God, and whatever he tells you for us to do, we will do. And then they said that three times, both before and after they heard what the law was. They said, all that the Lord has said, we will do. Now, among the things in the law, there was giving, like first fruits offering. In Deuteronomy chapter 8, verse 10, first he talks about this attitude of giving and a recognition that all things are provided by God. In verse 10 it says, when thou hast eaten and art full, then thou shalt bless the Lord thy God for the good land which he hath given thee. Beware that thou forget not the Lord thy God in not keeping his commandments and his judgments and his statutes which I command thee this day, lest when thou hast eaten and art full and hast built goodly houses and dwelt therein, and when thy herds and thy flocks multiply, and thy silver and thy gold is multiplied, and all that thou hast is multiplied, then thine heart be lifted up, and thou forget the Lord thy God, which brought thee forth out of the land of Egypt from the house of bondage, who led thee through that great and terrible wilderness, wherein were fiery serpents and scorpions and drought, where there was no water, who brought thee water out of the rock of flint, who fed thee in the wilderness with manna, which thy fathers knew not, that he might humble thee, and that he might prove thee to do thee good at thy latter end. And thou say in thy heart, my power and the might of my hand hath gotten me this wealth. But thou shalt remember the Lord thy God, for it is he that giveth thee power to get wealth. Look at that. When a person is wealthy, that they're not to think, oh, I'm pretty good. Look at all I've accumulated. I'm pretty hot stuff. He said, the Lord thy God hath given thee power to get wealth. Never forget that. That he may establish his covenant which he sware unto thy fathers as it is this day. In Deuteronomy 26, as part of the law, when the people were to bring the first fruits offerings. They were to, you know, when the crops would start growing, there'd always be some that would sprout and grow and be ready to harvest first before all the rest of it. And they were to take that and bring it to the place that God would choose, which later on would be Jerusalem, and come and make a presentation to the priest. And we'll pick it up in verse 3. And thou shalt go unto the priest that shall be in those days, and say unto him, I profess this day unto the Lord thy God, that I am come unto the country which the Lord sware unto our fathers for to give us. And the priest shall take the basket out of thine hand, and set it down before the altar of the Lord thy God. And thou shalt speak and say before the Lord thy God, Is Syrian ready to perish? It was my father. And he went down into Egypt, and sojourned there with a few, and became there a nation, great, mighty, and populous. And the Egyptians evil entreated us, and afflicted us, and laid upon us hard bondage. And when we cried unto the Lord God of our fathers, the Lord heard our voice, and looked on our affliction, and our labor, and our oppression. And the Lord brought us forth out of Egypt with a mighty hand, and with an outstretched arm, and with great terribleness, and with signs, and with wonders, and hath brought us into this place, and hath given us this land, even a land which floweth with milk and honey. And now, behold, I have brought the first fruits of the land, which thou, O Lord, hast given me. And thou shalt set it before the Lord thy God, and worship before the Lord thy God. And thou shalt rejoice in every good thing which the Lord thy God hath given unto thee, and unto thine house, thou and the Levite and the stranger which is among you. And they would do this when they present the first fruits, and also the tithes, it mentions in verse 12. Because that would be a recognition of the increase and the great wealth that God had given to them. And they would remember, yeah, our family history goes back to a man named Jacob, who was a Syrian at one point, ready to perish. You know, being leaving his family because his brother Esau was going to kill him once his father was dead. And he had really nothing with him when he went to, you know, Laban's house, just himself and a willingness to walk with God. You know, and he made a covenant before God. He said, you know, because God appeared to him on the way there, and he said, I'll take care of you. And he said, if you'll do this for me, you know, and provide me food to eat and clothes to wear, just that, I will, all that you give me, I'll surely give the tenth unto you. I will tithe the tithe. And so, hundreds of years later, you know, God is reminding them of that point where he was just a Syrian ready to perish. And he said, look, now you're millions of people. And I brought you into a land where the houses are already built and the farms are already planted. And not only will you have this great wealth, but your wealth will multiply and increase as the time goes ahead. And I will give you the ability to get more wealth. And so don't think that your own might and your own hand and your own smarts is what's doing this. But I, your father, God, we didn't, you know, he was their father. He was Israel's father. He had fathered that nation. And say, I've provided this for you. So just remember that and enjoy it. You know, and don't forget about me. So when, so they did that. And that's why David was so blessed. You know, when the people offered willingly to build that temple for God, that he knew it and they knew it, that God had provided all those things. And they were just giving a portion of that to God to make that house for him. Well, in Ephesians chapter 2, talks a little bit about those that have come into the body of Christ. Now, if you remember after Pentecost, when all the people that believed at first were of Israel, right? They were the first 3,000 that believed, and the next 5,000, and many after that were all of Israel, and they heard what the apostles said about Jesus Christ being raised from the dead, and how they continued in the apostles' doctrine and fellowship and breaking bread and prayers, and they sold everything that they didn't need, and they just gave it, so that the people that had lack could have their needs met, that there would be an abundance to take care of people, and that the word about Jesus Christ could spread. And then later on, those of a Gentile background were allowed to get involved. And in chapter 2 of Ephesians, God, by way of Jesus Christ, by way of Paul, is speaking to these who were not originally of Israel, but among all the nations that were around there. In chapter 2, verse 1, it says, "And you hath he quickened, made alive, who were dead in trespasses and sins." You were dead. But verse 4, "But God, who is rich in mercy, for his great love wherewith he loved us, even when you were dead in sins, hath quickened us together with Christ. By grace you are saved." So the very life that you have, the eternal life that's within you, was just a free gift. Not of works, it says. Verse 9, "Lest any man should boast, for we are his workmanship." He did the works, and we are the works that he did. "Created in Christ Jesus unto good works, which God hath before ordained that we should walk in them." And he talks about how those who were Gentiles in verse 12, that at that time you were without Christ, being aliens from the commonwealth of Israel, and strangers from the covenants of promise, having no hope, and without God in the world. But now in Christ Jesus, you who sometimes were far off are made nigh, you're made close, and it's by the blood of Christ. For he is our peace, who hath made both one, and hath broken down the middle wall of partition between us, having abolished in his flesh the enmity, even the law of commandments contained in ordinances, for to make in himself of twain one new man, so making peace, and that he might reconcile both unto God in one body by the cross, having slain the enmity thereby, and came and preached peace to you who were way far off, as well as them that were nigh, to those of Israel. For through him we both have access by one Spirit unto the Father. Now ye are no more strangers and foreigners, but your fellow citizens with the saints and of the household of God, and are built upon the foundation of the apostles and prophets, Jesus Christ himself being the chief cornerstone, in whom all the building fitly framed together groweth unto a holy temple in the Lord, in whom you also are builded together for a habitation of God through the Spirit. Now, when the tabernacle was built and the temple was built, what was it made out of? Gold. That which was freely given. That which was freely given, that which God had provided. The temple of God today are those who have that eternal life that God has given to us. And what are we to do? Well, freely give ourselves to God. Back in 2 Corinthians 8, we start in verse 12, where Paul was talking to the Corinthians about first being a willing mind, then it would be accepted according to what a man has, not according to that he hath not, meaning, there might have been some people there that were thinking, well, I can't give because, God expects a certain amount and I don't have that much, so why give something that's less than what's expected? I won't give anything at all. And God is saying, look, if you have this willing mind first, whatever you give will be accept it according to what you have, not according to what you don't have. And but he gave an example of the people of Macedonia who had voluntarily given. And in the beginning of chapter 8, he says, "Moreover, brethren, we do you to wit of the grace of God bestowed upon the churches of Macedonia, the grace of God bestowed upon them, how that in a great trial of affliction, the abundance of their joy and their deep poverty abounded unto the riches of their liberality. For to their power I bear record, and yea, and beyond their power, they were willing of themselves." They were willing to give more than they were able. "Praying us with much entreaty that we would receive the gift and take upon us the fellowship of the ministering to the saints. And this they did, not as we hoped, not as we expected, but first gave their own selves to the Lord and unto us by the will of God." So they gave their own selves. You know, that makes up the temple today. That makes up the temple, those that willingly give themselves. And these are people that voluntarily confess Jesus Christ as Lord, right? Every person in the body of Christ, we're in it because we made a voluntary decision and commitment to believe and to confess that he's Lord and to live our lives with him as Lord, right? That was a voluntary commitment. And then we give ourselves voluntarily. God doesn't require it. But you read over and over through the epistles, "I beseech you to walk worthy of the calling wherewith you are called. I beseech you, brethren, to present your bodies a living sacrifice, holy and acceptable unto God." There's a beseeching because it's not demanded. Otherwise they say, "I demand of you to present a living sacrifice." They would have been demanded to pay 10%. You know, they would have been required, but no, they're beseeched. And all the time Paul was with them, he never collected anything from them. But at this time, he said, he's writing to them because he said, "A year ago you said you were willing. Now, because you said you were willing, and I believe what you said, I'm encouraging you to follow through on what you said." And he gave this wonderful example of these believers in Macedonia who they begged us to take a gift. They implore us, "Please, we want to contribute to your ministry. We want to help. We want to be a part of what you're doing as far as getting the word to other people." And they saw Paul as a valuable man, you know, to themselves and to God, and they saw Paul as one who had given his whole life in service to God. And as he was giving, he was paying his own way. He was working with his hands part-time, you know, and then giving. But these people said, "We want to provide for you so that you can pay your bills and help other people and take some money to Jerusalem to help the saints there and have more time to, you know, to preach the word like you're doing here." So they just begged him to take it. And he did, you know. In chapter 9, we'll finish up here. In verse 1 it says, "For as touching the ministering to the saints, it is superfluous for me to write to you, for I know the forwardness of your mind, for which I boast of you to them of Macedonia." So that those generous folks, I was bragging about you, how generous you are. "That Achaia was ready a year ago, and your zeal hath provoked very many, because you said you really wanted to give too. So yet have I sent the brethren, lest our boasting of you should be in vain in this behalf, that, as I said, you may be ready," you know, "that you may be prepared. Lest haply, if they of Macedonia come with me and find you unprepared, we say not you, should be ashamed in the same confident boasting." Verse 5, "Therefore I thought it necessary to exhort the brethren." And to exhort, that's the same word as implore or beseech, "that they would go before unto you and make up beforehand your bounty wherever you had noticed before that the same might be ready as a matter of bounty and not of covetousness. But this I say, he which soweth sparingly shall reap also sparingly. He which soweth bountifully shall reap also bountifully. And bountifully means with blessing. With blessing. Sparingly means, you know, holding back but giving out what's being demanded. Every man according as he purposeth in his heart, so let him give, not grudgingly or of necessity, for God loveth a cheerful giver. And God is able to make all grace abound toward you, that you always having all sufficiency in all things may abound to every good work. That's the kind of giving God loves. He loves a cheerful giver. And the cheerful giver loves to give. He and God are on the same page. You see? And that has to do not only with our finances, but also with our service to God, with the time that we give to God, with everything that we do for God, our walking with Him, the time that we spend with other believers. You know, God loves a cheerful giver, those that really want to walk with Him, that really want to give, that really want to contribute. It can't be demanded. It can't be required. Because if it were, it wouldn't be that willing, cheerful heart. But when it's there, and that's just the decision of the person, it's just the decision of the giver, then a lot of things open up, including God's grace abounding towards you, that you always having all sufficiency in all things may abound to every good work. And it's a joy to be able to give, and to give a lot, and to give with blessing and with that kind of heart. So just want to share some of those things with everybody. And let's pray. God, we thank you so much for all that you have given to us and all that you have made available to us. Just like your people Israel, that you gave them power to get wealth, we know you've done the same for us, and you've enriched our lives so much. And we thank you that every opportunity that we have to give, we can make a decision to give willingly and to give cheerfully, and knowing that the abundance of your grace is wide open, that we always having all sufficiency in all things may abound unto every good work. And we thank you in the great, great name of our Lord Jesus Christ, who willingly gave his own life, you know, for your sake and for those that would receive the benefits of his redemption. We thank you in his wonderful name. Amen.
Amen.
Hallelujah. So, a couple of things to